Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact. The Market Commentary with Michael Avery is brought to you by Peter Machlup Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Well, it's all about central banks this week. We had 13 central bank meetings in total. The big one overnight, the Fed, 75 bips. Today, the Reserve Bank, 75 bips as well. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital. The Hawks have invaded the Black Tower, it seems. Two voting for a 100 basis point increase. What stood out for you in that Reserve Bank decision today?
Good evening, Michael. I think that was a bit disappointing, having two MPC members wanting a full 1%. And, you know, the governor made a point of reminding everyone that the SARB's mandate is price stability, which drives the market, and so which drives their decision, I should say. So, in my view, South African inflation showing some signs of tempering, which should give the SARB some comfort. But they are also aware that a lot of the high inflation we see is really exogenous, from exogenous drivers, and so they want to keep lockstep with the U.S., raise in tandem, and that's really just to stop the currency from weakening. You know, they have already said that they know that high inflation in a South African context is very dangerous for the economy, but there's also no doubt that the MPC are acutely aware that our inflation comes from a weaker currency in this environment that we're working in.
Yeah, and when you say that, you basically say it's not demand, it's not consumers going out and shopping too much in an overheated economy. It's because if the rand weakens, all of the stuff, oil products produced offshore that we import, increase in price, and that drives inflation.
That's absolutely what I'm saying. Yes, and interesting you mention the consumer, because Lesetia did say that consumer spending has been quite supportive of GDP growth. And I'm going to add my bit, that the drag on our GDP growth of late has really come from the production side of the economy. And so as the higher rates impact the consumer, there's no doubt that consumer spending will slow, and the result is an even lower growth trajectory. And so, you know, I'm very nervous about this, because whereas other economies, perhaps like the U.S., even though I think they're a technical recession, they've got full employment, we're sitting at ridiculously high unemployment levels, and people are going to have to tighten their belts, and it's going to become very difficult for us. You know, so where are growth expectations? Well below 2%, right? Yeah. You add power cuts to that, further reducing expectations or growth. Combine that with higher rates. I'm not sure we're even going to see 1.5% GDP growth from here.
And on that point, in the July meeting, I think it was, the commentary was all about the risks to the growth outlook are on the downside. In this meeting, the risks were assessed as balanced. I don't know if that's entirely appropriate, given that you're hiking rates into an already weak economy with weak demand. I see continued risk with load shedding thrown in for good measure still to the downside. So I'll probably quibble a little bit over there. But interestingly, and I mean, we look at the facts, and you mentioned that the SARB governor is very mindful of price stability and the currency's role in all of this. Japan intervening to prop up the yen for the first time since 1998. I was busy with my awful matric farewell in that year. I wasn't really paying much attention to the BOJ. What did you make of that decision?
Yeah, that was interesting, because they said they were holding negative rate policy, even though the Fed, they knew, obviously they know that the Fed's hiking, and so, you know, they knew that it would impact their currency, and then suddenly, I mean, 1998, that was the Asian crisis, you know, so what they're trying to do is stem this 20% decline of the yen against the dollar this year. So a bold intervention, and I'm not sure that currency intervention works, and I've seen this, geez, I've been in the market long enough now to have seen it tried a couple of times, and they just spend their reserves trying to hold on to a currency that is weakening. And of course, the other side of this is Japan has previously wanted, or encouraged, I should say, a weaker currency to benefit their exporters, kind of to spend that money trying to hold up the yen and not raise interest rates in this environment. interesting decision. I'm keen to see where it goes, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to look at this in a month's time.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it's finger in the dike stuff. Often when we've seen, I think it was Jill Marcus who tried something similar to try and defend the value of the rand, and it ended up being quite futile, and our puny reserve certainly no match for what goes on with the most one of the most traded emerging market currencies in the world. Peter Muckler, Fine Wrist Watches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader, been buying and selling luxury watches for over 30 years. Just visit peterbuysrolex.co.za. And Peter, talk to me about what we saw out of the Fed overnight. And it looks, and it certainly sounds like Jay Powell is becoming increasingly hawkish at every single meeting. Another 75 basis points. But he now seems to be saying that the likelihood of a soft landing is almost off the table. What stood out for you?
Well, Michael, I mean, I think I've just figured out what was going on now because I have a different view on it. So, of course, you know, another 75 basis points interest rate hike as expected. So that leaves the Fed funds target range at 3 to 3.25%. And the market immediately was okay with it. But then when Powell started talking about or reiterating how they were bringing inflation back to 2%, it's going to involve some pain, and that the economy, they think the economy remains resilient, but potentially it's going to hurt, the market fell 1,000 points. It was people like you, Michael,
yeah.
who were trading last night. I would have said that he's already said this at Jackson Hole. He pointed out that that's exactly what they were going to do. So I was surprised by this drop in the markets, actually, post-Powell's speech, which was really what caused it.
You must hang out with us on Twitter on Fed Nights. We have a lot of fun in Twitter spaces. I was listening to Unusual Wales with Ben Hunt, some great FinTwit conversation, and very similar thoughts were expressed. You know, what really changed from Jackson Hole to now? Maybe what has changed is that the market is now really starting to believe the Fed and not dismissing Jay Powell's determination to rein in inflation. Anthea Gardner, we're going to have to leave it there. MD of Cartesian Capital, with your view from the market. Here on Classic Business.
The Market Commentary with Michael Avery was brought to you by Peter Machlop Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Listen next Thursday, just after 6 p.m., for another Market Commentary with me, Michael Avery, brought to you by Peter Machlop Fine Wristwatches, South Africa's most trusted and loved watch trader.
Do you have a luxury watch you would like to sell? I'm Peter Machlop. For over 30 years, South Africans have trusted me with their luxury watches. I buy Rolex, Patek Philippe, Breitling, Panerai, Cartier and Omega. I offer honest advice, a fair price and a personalized experience from my upmarket, safe and secure office. Ready to sell your Rolex? Visit my website, peterbuyswatches.co.za.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice and impact.